Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It is good to be back today, and we appreciate the opportunity that we have each and every week at this same time to come and bring the 30-minute radio broadcast, so we hope you'll stay with us. We always take just a moment and let you know about the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located just outside of Boone on off of Highway 105 South, Baird's Creek Road, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we have Sunday school every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We have Sunday school for all ages, including the high school and the college classes as well. We have school starting back this week, Appalachian State University, and we always have several college students that come and be a part of our church throughout the school year, and we look forward to seeing some of them back. In fact, we had some last Sunday, and so we'd love for you to come out and visit with us. We have a church website, mountlebanonbc.org. And you can find out all kinds of information about the church and church times and directions and all that good stuff on the church website. You know, I've been making a mistake for about 3 or 4 weeks now, and that is announcing the beginning of the Victory Bible Institute, the fall semester. I had my dates wrong, and I feel foolish in doing that. But if you are interested, and I have been announcing this, the in-class studies in Roan Mountain, Tennessee at the Victory Bible Institute start this Thursday night, August the 18th. Then the correspondence starts the Thursday night after that, August 25th. Correspondence, internet classes, satellite schools. And so if you are interested in that, it is not too late to get signed up. You can call Pastor Jerry Honeycutt, or you can go on their church website, vbcministries.org. That is V as in Victory, B as in Bible, and C as in church, vbcministries.org. And I'm also going to give you the church phone number, or Pastor Honeycutt's number. And if you would like to call him, that is a area code 423-772-3848. And so if you are interested in getting in on the fall semester of the Victory Bible Institute, you can call 423-772-3848. And it's a wonderful opportunity to study God's Word together. It's good to have Noah back today. He's been busy with work the past few weeks and not been able to be here, but no, it's good to have you back.
I'm glad to be back. Always miss coming in and sitting in and listening here on the radio broadcasts that we do. I always enjoy it, and we do want to say welcome to all those who were listening in this morning right here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5. Those right out of Boone, North Carolina, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and our prayers go out to those that are, I had a pastor call me last night about the flooding in Louisiana, and our hearts and prayers go out to those. And up in West Virginia, they've had a lot of flooding up there as well over the summer, and we really want to try to think about those people and pray for them and help them as we can. And we've had some local tragedies as well, the fire, loss of life and property in a fire out in Valley Cruces, and we've been trying to hold those folks up in our prayers as well. So there's always a lot of things to pray about, and always a lot of things going on. But we're going to get into the study today, and we've been studying civics. And civics, this is part three, or the third lesson that we've given in civics. And civics, we said, first of all, we said just by way of introduction that civics was the study of rights and duties of citizens and how the government works. And the very first week that we used this or talked about this, we talked about the Apostle Paul in the Bible. Now, the Apostle Paul, he knew civics. And what I mean by that, he knew his rights. He knew his duties as a citizen. He knew how the government worked. He knew how the law system worked. And he appealed many times to his being a Roman citizen. His being a Roman citizen caused him to be treated differently by the authorities than he would if he would have been not a Roman citizen. So Paul, he knew that, and he used that to his advantage. And so if we are ignorant of the way our government works, if we are ignorant of our rights, of our duties as a citizen, then we are very likely to be taken advantage of. And I believe we are in that predicament today in America, that we are ignorant of our rights, our duties. And in fact, I'll say this, a person that moves here from another country, that migrates from another country, and they become a citizen of the United States, they have to pass a civics exam. They have to pass a test in order to become an American citizen. And I would say by and large that a person that's moved here and become a legal citizen from another country knows more about being an American citizen than your average American citizen does. And we talked about last week, we started talking about the difference between a democracy and a republic. Last week, we dealt specifically with what a democracy was. Now, this is very important that we know and understand the difference between the two, between a democracy and between a republic. Now, I'm just going to quickly mention what a democracy is. We talked about what James Madison, when he described what a democracy was. And I have a little book, and I've referred to this many times over the years, and I highly recommend it as a civics book. It's called The 5,000-Year Leap, A Miracle That Changed the World. And it says this under the 12th chapter. It said, there are many reasons why the founders wanted a republican form of government rather than a democracy. Theoretically, a democracy requires the full participation of the masses of the people in the legislative or decision-making processes of the government. This has never worked because the people become so occupied with their daily tasks that they will not properly study the issues, nor will they take the time to participate in extensive hearings before the vote is taken. The Greeks tried to use democratic mass participation in the government of their city-states, and each time it ended in tyranny. Now, some people act like democracy is a new idea. It's not a new idea. It's been around for thousands of years, and it has never, ever worked. It never works. It always ends up in tyranny, or as we talked about last week, it ends up in mobocracy. The mob, the crying out of the people, this is what we want, and this is what we demand. And we talked about how democracy actually put Jesus on the cross. According to the law, the Lord Jesus Christ had not done anything worthy of death, but the people cried out. The mob cried out. And they said, crucify him, crucified him. And Pilate, being a weak leader, gave in to the cries of the mob and crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Democracy put Jesus upon the cross. And so, just some interesting things. Now, we're not anti-democracy. We're pro-republic, a republican form of government. We're not anti-mass, a popular vote or a majority vote. We're not against that. But we are pro-constitution. The people should not be able to do anything that is not allowed by the Constitution. We have a law of the land. A republican form of government protects us from the mob, from a majority vote. A republican form of government protects the minority because what is supreme is the law, not just what everybody cries out in a spur of the moment, well, we want to do it this way. So a republic is different. And in America, we have a republican form of government. The Pledge of Allegiance, for example, says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. Now, we're talking today specifically, we talked last week about a democracy. We're going to talk this week more about what a republic is. And so America has a republican form of government. The definition of a republic is this: a state in which the exercise of the sovereign power is lodged in representatives elected by the people. And so a republic is a representative form of government. That is the kind of government we have in America. We elect our representatives. When we have an issue at the courthouse, when we have an issue in the county, the whole county does not show up and listen to both sides and then have a majority vote. No, we don't do that. We have elected people to represent us. We have county commissioners. We have a school board. We have a town council with a mayor. And then in the state, we have a governor, and we have representatives, and we have state senators. And then on the federal, in the federal government, it's the same thing. We have a president, we have senators. And so all throughout America, our government, the federal government, and then each individual state is a republican form of government. All of them, all 50 of them, are that way. And so we elect these representatives. What do they do? Do they go? Now I'm talking the way it's supposed to be, not the way it is, but the way it is supposed to be, the way that it is designed to be, is that we elect representatives. They go to the seat of government, and what they all take an oath to do is to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And then those on the state level, they do the same thing. And each state has a constitution. And if you'll study this out, you will find each state has a constitution based upon our constitution. So they are not contradictory one to the other, but they are complementary one to the other. And so they're both based on that. That is because they're both based on the same form of government. You don't have a republican form of federal government and a democracy in the state government. Both forms of government are republican, or a representative form of government. So we elect them. And what do? They go and they legislate, and they look at the issues, and they look at the laws, and everything they do should be in accordance with the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's not always the way it is. Sometimes our leaders go and do things that are contrary to the Constitution. Now, why is this important? Some people would look at it and they would say, what does it matter? What is the difference? There's no difference, blah, blah, blah. It is a big difference. And let me just give you an example. It's a difference whether you recognize that we are a democracy or a republic, even in our way of thinking. Now, let me just give you a suppose, and this will let you know, are you more democratic-minded or are you more republic-minded? And in saying that, I'm afraid some people will get in their minds, oh, well, I'm a Democrat, or well, I'm a Republican. But I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about right now the two parties. I'm talking about the form of government, a democracy or a republic. A democracy, will of the people, whim of the people, whatever the people want. Republic, law of the land. We're going to go by the law. Okay, let me give you a suppose. And this is something that is debated even today. You can follow it on the internet. But let's just say license stop. And this actually happened to me a few weeks ago. And I'm going to tell you what happened. and this your reaction to this will tell you if you are democracy-minded or republic-minded, okay? I'm coming home, minding my own business, and let me say, I'm saying a lot of things here, so I hope you're paying attention, but I am not anti-law enforcement. I am pro-law enforcement, the police, the highway patrolmen, bless their hearts, I'm for them. We need them, and they need our prayers. So I'm not for giving them a hard time. But, and my wife always says, sounds like there's a buck coming. Okay, I'm coming home late at night. There's a license checkpoint. And so the highway patrol are out there. The local police are out there. They stop us, and they're checking licenses. Now, do they have a constitutional right to do that? They're looking for drunk drivers. That's a big problem. I understand that. And so that's what they're doing. And they're checking for licenses. Do they have a right to do that? A democracy-minded person will say this, well, as long as you're not doing anything wrong, it don't matter. I've heard that many, many times. A person that understands our republic, that understands civics, that understands our rights and our duties, will recognize that that is an infringement of your Fourth Amendment right. As a free American, you have a right to move, to travel, to be safe in your effects, your personal property. You should not, if you are not breaking a law, law enforcement doesn't have any business stopping you. They don't have any business asking to see your license, asking anything, if you are not breaking the law. And so we were stopped. And the officer, and I was very nice in all of this, he said, do you have your license? And I said, yes, I do. And there was an awkward pause there. And he said, well, can I see them? And I said, you realize you are infringing upon my Fourth Amendment rights. And he looked at me like he had never heard of what I was talking about. And he said, what? I said, that is infringement of our Fourth Amendment rights in the Constitution. So I'm still letting him look at my license. I get it out. I hand it to him. He said, well, the state of North Carolina says we can do that. Well, and then he looked at my tag, and then he brought it back and just handed it to me. And I drove off. That was the end of it. But he said the state of North Carolina. But let me tell you, in the state of North Carolina allowing that, they are not only doing something contrary to the Constitution, but also the state of North Carolina. You should be able to travel about and have liberty. If they want to stop drunk people, go down to the bar when they close and stop them there. Oh, but we can't do that. But that'll tell you the difference. People that are democracy-minded, they'll say, oh, it don't matter anything the police do, any searching, they can come in your house. You know, they have that. If you're not doing anything wrong, it shouldn't matter. But a republic-minded person is very concerned about their rights that they have, and that is a deterrent to tyranny. So we're concerned about the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. We're concerned about the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment, which talks about the freedom or the right to keep and to bear arms. We're concerned about the Fourth Amendment. We're concerned about our homes and privacy and all of those things. And so it does make a difference between the two. Well, I spent more time talking about that than I meant to. But if we will learn the difference between the two, we will be ahead of the majority of people living in America today. Now, it is not by accident that there are those who actively and purposefully try to alter history and try to make us a democracy when, in fact, we were established as a republic. D.L. Cummins, and I've got a book called America in Crimson Red. It's about our history in America. And in the foreword to that book, he says this. He said, the media and academia have merged in this all-too-successful revision of our history. Our once-proud constitutional republic has been portrayed as a mere democracy. Our Bible-laced past has been brought into doubt, distorted, and finally denied. And so there is a active, whether it's planned or not, but you find if you go back in the early 1900s, you'll find this changing of our history, trying to change our republic into a democracy. Well, what can be done about it? What can be done about it? And when the president of the United States gets up and talks on TV and makes a big speech, and in his speech he refers to our democracy, what can be done about that? Do you think that the president does not know the difference? That he does not know that this is not a democracy, but it's a republic? Either the president and and some of the senators in our country, either they are just flat out ignorant concerning civics, or they are purposefully sending an incorrect message. Which do you think it is? Do you think the president does not know that this is a republic and not a democracy? But over and over again, I've heard many talk about our democracy. Then I've saw some of the leading Republicans get up, and they say the exact opposite. They say, our republic. Now, which is it? They are not the same thing. I believe the president does know the difference. But what can we do about it? When the president gets up and talks about our democracy, here's what we can do. We can be informed. We can know better. And we can teach others. We can teach others and tell others what the difference is. James Madison, one of our founding fathers, said this about a republic. And he gave the following definition. He said, "We may define a republic to be a government which derives all its powers directly or indirectly from the great body of the people, and it is administered by persons holding their offices during pleasure for a limited period or during good behavior. It is essential to such a government that it be derived from the great body of society, not from an inconsiderable proportion or a favored class of it. Otherwise, a handful of tyrannical nobles exercising their oppressions by a delegation of their powers might aspire to the rank of republicans and claim for their government the honorable title of republic." Now, I'm going to quickly interpret that long paragraph. Here's what James Madison is saying, that a republic is a representative form of government, and the people elect their representatives. But what he is saying is that in order for a republic to work correctly, we need a large voter turnout. We do not have a large voter turnout in America. Not just a small percentage of diehard Democrats and diehard Republicans, and the Democrats are going to vote for the Democrats and the Republicans are going to vote for the Republicans, and it wouldn't matter if they run the devil on their ticket. That is what they're going to do, and it does not matter who it is. If that's all you have in America, then the Democrats and the Republicans run the country, and there's no chance for anybody else. And that's exactly where we are today. We've got a small number of people, percentage-wise, and some of them are, and a lot of them are Democrats and a lot of them are Republicans, and that's what they're going to vote for. And the rest look at it and they say, "Well, there's nothing can be done. You know, we can't run a third party if we." And you know, you've got this same old thing over and over and over. And James Madison said, "Otherwise, a handful of tyrannical nobles exercising their oppressions by a delegation of their powers might aspire to the rank of Republicans and claim for their government the honorable title of Republic." If you just have a small number of people and they're voting Democrat or Republican, then the Democrats and Republicans are always going to be in power. And our founders despised and warned us against a two-party citizen. Now, there is some reason to be encouraged, because if you look state by state, and I know for a fact, I just read an article about the state of North Carolina, more and more people are registering as independent or unaffiliated. So more and more people in our country, their eyes are being opened to the scam of the two-party system. The Republicans and the Democrats, they both got a lot of problems. And I think one of the reasons why the Republicans chose Donald Trump is because the Republicans are fed up with Republicans lying to them. And the Republicans have said for years and years, they've said, oh, if you'll vote us in, we'll go in and we'll do this and we'll do that. And they've not done it. It's just been the same old, same old. And as long as we elect the same old, well, we're going to get the same old. What we ought to say as a country, we ought to come along and say, who, I'm interested in who's going to follow the Constitution. Now, as I look at Trump or Hillary, I don't see either one of them talking about that. I don't see either one of them very interested in making the case for the Constitution. But I'll tell you, as American citizens, that's what we ought to be interested in. Who is going to follow the Constitution and preserve our great republic? Because if we don't get back to the Constitution, our republic is not going to be preserved. It's going to be something else. It's going to be a democracy. Now, I mentioned last week the United States Army Training Manual from 1928. And it talked about the, it described the different forms of government, and it described a democracy, and it said it results in mobocracy, a mob or anarchy. But that same manual, it also described what a republic was. Let me just quickly, a republic is authority is derived through the election by the people of public officials best fitted to represent them. A republic, the attitude toward property is respect for laws and individual rights and a sensible economic procedure. So a republic is going to protect your individual rights. And the vanguard or the tenet is going to be liberty. We're for maximum liberty. We want people to have all the liberty that they can. That is the best way for society to operate. The attitude toward law is the administration of justice in accord with fixed principles and established evidence with a strict regard for consequences. A greater number of citizens and extent of territory may be brought within its compass. This is one of the reasons why our founding fathers desired a republic, because they knew that America was going to grow. It avoids the dangerous extreme of either tyranny or mobocracy, and it results in statesmanship, liberty, reason, justice, contentment, and progress. And so a republic is a wonderful thing, and that is the form of government that we have. Quickly, let me just mention, this was the form of government that the children of Israel had. And I don't have time to go over there today. I was going to read in Exodus chapter number 18, but in Exodus chapter number 18, Moses was encouraged by his father-in-law. Everybody was coming to Moses and asking questions, and he was out there all day and he never got a break. And they said, choose out men to represent thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens, and let that be your form of government. They had elected representatives. Well, we see our time is quickly come and gone today. Noah's going to come and give the contact information. But we appreciate you listening in. We thank the Lord for the opportunity. Have a great day, and God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596, or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.